Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 61. Thank you for listening. I'm super excited to get into today's episode, and you'll see why as soon as we jump in. I talk with Nick Lavigne, manager of workplace strategy and coworking lead for Verizon's coworking projects. They are just doing some really interesting, innovative work, and I can't wait to jump in. But first, two important announcements. The first one, many of you may know we had to reschedule the GWA conference due to Hurricane Irma. It was originally scheduled to be September 9th through 11th in Miami. Long story short, we are relocating the event to Brooklyn, New York. We are combining forces with NAIOP, which is the Commercial Real Estate Development Association, for one big landmark event. The Office Evolution, we're calling it, will offer GWA conference attendees, exhibitors, and speakers unprecedented access to developers, asset owners, investors, and other forward thinkers in the commercial real estate industry. So if you're not yet registered, we will be reopening registration this week. So stay tuned. We'll be sending announcements via email and social media and updating, of course, the conference website at globalworkspace.org. So if you're a co-working space operator and you happen to be interested in sort of the forward-looking world of asset owners and landlords getting engaged, or you are one of those asset owners or landlords, this is like an amazing event. So we'll be running both groups' agendas, and anyone with a ticket to either event will get access to the other agenda, and we will be doing some joint meals and networking events. So it's going to be amazing. We sort of made some lemonade out of the lemons that we were handed with Hurricane Irma, and we're excited about the update. And then lastly, before we jump in, if you are starting a shared workspace, I am kicking off our last 2017 cohort of our flight groups, which are designed to help you avoid making all the mistakes that you'd make by trying to start a space by yourself. We want you to be more confident in your decisions and save time and money and just enjoy the process more by not having to do it all on your own. Next week, we're launching our third group, and we're going to start one more in November, first week in November, and that's going to be the last chance to get in before probably February, because we won't start one over the holiday season. So the next one will probably kick off in February. So if you want to get in before February, the November group will be the option. So tell me now. If you want more info, text the phrase flight group to 44222. That's all one word. And if you have problems texting, just send me an email to jamie@everythingcoworking.com. I know folks outside of the U.S. can't text, and I have been trying to put together an international group. We're still working on that. So if you're interested, shoot me an email or the text to 44222. All right, we're going to jump in now. Enjoy the show.
Okay, I'm really excited today about my conversation with Nick Lavigne. Nick, thank you for joining me today on your Friday afternoon in D.C.,
Thanks for having me, Jamie. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So I think, Nick was on a panel at the GWA conference last year. And so I knew of him, but I wasn't moderating the panel. But I think my first connection with Nick was over the 607 area code that we used to share.
That's
Nick,
right.
A fellow upstate New Yorker. And I think I mentioned that in my intro, which I don't usually talk about at the conference. And so there were a couple of fellow upstate New Yorker. So you went to Cornell undergrad, and then remind me, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Ithaca and went to Cornell for undergrad. Yeah. So you and I are one of the many exports of upstate New York.
Right. And I went to Ithaca College for undergrad. So, and you're still holding on to the 607 area code, which I love. It warms my heart.
Got to represent.
Totally. So Nick and I hit it off right away, but he's also doing some really interesting work in corporate real estate and co-working. So we're going to have a conversation about that today. So Nick is manager of workplace strategy at Verizon and the lead on their co-working project, which we're going to talk a little bit about today. And of course, they've gotten press over the last couple of years with their partnerships in co-working. And I'll let Nick talk a little bit about kind of how they're leveraging existing real estate assets and turning them into co-working spaces, and what's sort of driving that. And super interesting that it's coming out to me that it's coming out of the real estate team. So I'd love to start there. Nick, can you kind of describe the culture of Verizon's real estate team?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, we see ourselves as a strategic partner to the business. Oftentimes, corporate real estate departments, facility departments have a real kind of cost center mentality. But our leader, John Vasquez, who's our senior vice president, has done a great job of kind of changing the culture of the organization to a mindset of service to our customers and enabling the business and being strategic in our decisions, both to optimize the portfolio and be smart managers of corporate assets, but more importantly, how can we manage an engaging experience for our employees, partners, and customers? So, you know, as much as possible with the long life cycle of real estate, we have a fail fast mentality, trying new concepts and trying out new technologies and pushing the envelope wherever we can to create those great experiences and, you know, innovate in the world of corporate real estate. So that's the culture is really just trying to look for new opportunities to utilize our real estate to enable the business to meet broader enterprise mission and objectives.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat because I think that can really vary across corporate real estate users. And you're obviously engaged in co-working in a totally different way than what we expect sort of corporations in general to start utilizing sort of short-term flexibility as part of their real estate mm-hmm. strategy. But, you know, seeing that sort of can be a little more conservative and move a little bit more slowly. And you guys are really kind of out there taking the initiative and making things happen. So that's really neat.
Yeah. And I'd say we're on both sides of that conversation. So we both build co-working spaces within our own walls and invite the external community in. But then we also put some of our strategic staff into co-working spaces in different locations, and we follow flexible office solutions and, you know, have global contracts with all the big players like Regus and WeWork to find short-term solutions for our smaller offices or sales teams that need to be, you know, more far afield from the kind of centers of excellence in our campuses.
Yeah. So I think that's a good clarification point. So you have a strategy for your own employees that have flexible work arrangements or are mobile, and you're using, like you said, kind of Regus, WeWork, et cetera. And can you talk, we're going to talk a little bit about this at our conference this year. And, you know, if folks who own co-working spaces are so interested in how to attract the corporate customer, from your perspective, and this is a little bit off track, sorry about our primary conversation here, but from your standpoint, when you're looking at solutions for your company, kind of what are the main drivers when you look at operators? I mean, from my understanding, it's a little bit harder for independent players to get business from folks like Verizon, yeah. Single point of billing, and you need, you know, kind of national coverage is nice. I mean, is that kind of on track? And is there anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, it is. So I was just going to say that scale is really important for us. So the global reach of both Regus and WeWork is very attractive to us because we sign master agreements, which gives us consistency in pricing, and they have all of the back end systems to support us at that level. So certainly that from a company perspective and placing our employees in those types of spaces, we do focus on scale. But I think there's also opportunity for strategic locations that might be accessing specific communities. So I think we're jumping ahead here, but one of the reasons why we started down the line of a partnership with Alley was actually because our open innovation team chose to sit at Alley as opposed to some other co-working location. So that opened the door for that conversation so that they felt like that community was really well suited to their needs. So of course, my light bulb went off and said, okay, I need to be talking to this team too, because one of our key partners and stakeholders internally sees that as their within their objectives.
Yeah. After your first light bulb, well, that's a pain in the butt because now I have to figure out how to manage that contract. Yeah. So let's get back into it. Yeah. So tell us the story of kind of what was the driver and how did it happen that Verizon decided to get into co-working?
Yeah. So it was really just an opportunity that's provided by having all of this space. So our portfolio is one of the largest in the world in terms of corporate portfolios. We have over 100 million square feet, and that ranges from office space to garage work centers where Fios trucks are deployed and so forth, to central offices where switching equipment, mainframe equipment comes in and connects all of our conversations and data. And across that portfolio, there's immense amounts of underutilized space and even just vacant fallow space that's been sitting there for years because of changes in technology and customer requirements and the different regulations around how these assets need to be managed. So beyond just the traditional real estate methods of sale leasebacks or condo sales or, you know, just getting rid of excess real estate. There were these pockets of 10, 15, 20,000 square feet within our central office portfolio that were kind of bookended by critical technical equipment that could not be moved or it was way too expensive to move. Mm-hmm. So how do we activate those spaces to create a new experience? So co-working, you know, when we started evaluating this opportunity, it was 3 years ago, maybe a little bit less. And, you know, co-working was a huge buzzword. And we were like, okay, this is the space world. They're really looking to change the corporate real estate world. So let's see if we can ride that wave a little bit. And we dug deeper into it and realized that there was a real business case there. So investing the money into repurposing these spaces and turning them into really livable environments as opposed to technical environments was worth it for us financially. So just from the real estate perspective and the baseline of that business case, we were able to see returns on our investment in a pretty quick timetable, at least from the projections. And then also a premium to traditional activities like a sublease or a traditional lease, which may not have even been possible in those assets.
So when did your how long has your first space been open? So how long have you been doing this?
Yeah, our first space opened in March of 2015 at 140 West Street. That's our old headquarters building. It's a historically protected 1927 Art Deco, beautiful building right next to One World Trade. And just on the second floor there, there was about 10,000 square feet open. And, you know, it's a pretty iconic location. So we chose that first in the heart of the financial district. And, you know, it was with a partnership with a company called Grind. And we opened that up and did the whole design and process with them and kept that community going. So it's been a, and then since then, we've opened up an additional four locations, another location in New York, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Washington, D.C., and in London, UK. So we're taking this global and we have aspirations to extend our reach globally and within the United States with plans to get to the West Coast next year, looking at other key markets alongside where our business wants us to go.
Yeah. So I'm sure you've learned a ton. I mean, you've done this on what I think is kind of a pretty amazing timeline, especially for a big company. I mean, you opened and you kept moving. What have you learned over time and kind of what has changed about what you're trying to do with spaces?
Yeah. So this comes back to the whole idea of coming at it from the real estate angle. So our team from the beginning, given our background and what we do for a living, we're very focused on space and design and executing on projects, which is very important to opening the space and getting the design correct. But what we found through conversations with the business and socializing this through different channels is that the real value driver here and the biggest opportunity for our business as a whole was the relationships that could be leveraged out of these spaces. So co-working spaces, as you know, Jamie, house some of the most interesting startups, really great freelancers and people who are working on cutting edge technology. Verizon, as really an older telecom company going through a transformation into a technology company, needs to tap into that energy and those new ideas and new talent. So the business has seen these spaces as a really interesting platform for them to test new concepts, you know, host hackathons and workshops and things like that. So our focus has kind of shifted. You know, we haven't lost the foundation of good design, but we have shifted a lot of our focus and we've built more of my team around the concept of community management and community strategy. So we hired somebody onto our team in May of this year, actually out of one of our innovation centers with a strong VC background and the community engagement background to connect the dots between all the kind of sometimes disparate innovation groups within Verizon across our different business lines and work. And we're now working to boil down a lot of those objectives onto our platform. And so, like I said, hosting hackathons and workshops, even promoting office hours and mentoring sessions in the space. So it's a two-way conversation. This isn't just Verizon trying to capture value out of these spaces, but it's us trying to support the growth of an ecosystem and drive the conversation around our technology. So we're positioned within that as a brand to be looked at as a leader. Of course, that's important to us. But any way we can enhance the overall ecosystems in local geographies, it helps to create more people working on more technologies that then furthers our advancement in the future too, and, you know, delivering on the promise of the digital world.
So I'm just curious, is that new headcount part of the real estate group or the innovation group?
Yeah, it's part of my team in the real estate group.
Yeah, that's really, it's interesting, right? You're sort of crossing boundaries and it's you're doing something unique. And then, you know, we talked a little bit the other day about sort of the marketing piece of that. I mean, you're building true relationships in those ecosystems and in different markets that brands, I mean, would, you know, lots of brands are trying to figure out how to get that kind of access, and you're doing it in an authentic sort of really engaged way, which has, you know, so you're running, we talked the other day, I mean, you said you run the spaces for a profit, you're not taking a loss on them. And it's also like an amazing marketing tool for the brand.
Absolutely. And you know, I'll say that there's a bunch of momentum and activity around creating partnerships and ecosystem outreach already happening at Verizon. But what we see our team as is that consolidating platform, because those teams, they're going to other venues, they're using co-working spaces to host these events, they're partnering with other corporates to further the ecosystem development. But we have the space and the community already built in, and the revenue source that supports all that with, it's kind of like a shared services model for innovation in a way. So we consolidate a lot of that, a lot of the resources through our partnerships with the local operators. They have staff who can plan events. They have marketing and digital advertising people, social media folks that are already part of our contract. Yeah. And so we can leverage those resources across a number of different groups within Verizon, who are oftentimes budget strapped, to bring all of those innovation activities onto our platform. So, you know, beyond just our spaces where we are today, but where we look to be in the future, we're working much closer with the business to understand which geographies they want to go to and which ecosystems they want to help build further. So where are the IoT ecosystems? Where are the AR, VR, multi-reality startups happening? And where's that VC activity? So we've had to integrate a lot closer with the business on that stuff too.
So you recently partnered with Ally. What is it that's important to you in terms of a local operating partner?
Yeah, so I would characterize that in two ways. So at the basic level, the operators need to be able to demonstrate that they can manage the space and manage the community just kind of at that community level, right? So there's an easy employee or an easy customer experience onboarding and kind of taking care of all of the day-to-day office things that a member would expect. That's kind of the baseline. You know, those that can do that, great. But really what we're looking for on the next level is operators who have their finger on the pulse of the entrepreneurial ecosystem of their market, and, you know, specifically the tech scene as well. So they have external partnerships with groups like Techstars or General Assembly or Escape the City, groups that are kind of pushing the conversation around the development of different ecosystems. So, you know, that's what we really look for when we look at our partners in different geographies, is content, events, programming, support for the startups to help them grow their businesses. And it's more than just space. Space is just the conduit of membership. And really the value driver is the community itself and all of the conversation that comes on top of that.
Yep. Yeah, that makes total sense. And total sense from Verizon's standpoint. I mean, I think it's interesting for operators who have other kind of segments that they focus on to think about. I think the underlying theme is like a true connection to whatever community you're tied to, whether it be tech or fashion or food or, you know, so whatever it is, but that sort of true authentic network in the local community, which is makes such a big impact for your goals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of that, kind of a follow-up question, you now have spaces in New York, Boston, DC, and London. How do they look different in different markets? And how do you kind of think about what those differences will be when you go into it?
Well, just from a design perspective, we're very careful not to have this global standard for what the space should look like. We want to be local and relevant within the neighborhoods that they're in. So we work closely with the local partner, the operators like Ally and WorkLife in London, to understand what their aesthetic is, tap into that while marrying that with kind of what our aesthetic is in a way, so it doesn't feel just like an Ally space or just like a Verizon space, but somewhere in between. But then what we also do is we work with local artists and local design shops. Here in DC, we work with a company called Composite Co., who actually did a lot of the styling and furniture choices and art coordination on top of the great design work that Gensler did for us on an architecture side. So we're able to design it with a world-class architecture firm, but then get local with a local design firm who understood the culture of DC in a way that, you know, we couldn't get elsewise. Yeah. So we do that from a design perspective. But then on the community side, I think it just comes down to local cultures and different industries that are, you know, kind of have more critical mass in each of these locations. So in Cambridge, we see a lot of companies working on IoT, artificial intelligence, machine to machine, and even robotics. Mm-hmm. Whereas in DC, it's much more focused on cybersecurity, GovTech, EdTech, policy type things. So we have more members that are coming into our space in DC that have more of an NGO angle. Whereas in New York, it's much more media and fintech and other things like that, that it all depends on the geography. And when we get to the West Coast, there's going to be differences there as well. And even when we get to Asia and so forth, we're definitely going to tap into those local communities and kind of lean into that, into those communities where they exist.
Would you say there's, you could describe sort of an underlying culture across each of the spaces?
Well, certainly we want each of our spaces to have a hospitality first approach to their members. I think that's really important for any co-working space, certainly for us. And then I would say supportive as well. So we, like I said before, we don't want these spaces to just be a desk to drop in and do your work. We want them to be seen as a launch pad for the next level of growth in the business. So any kind of support that we can provide just from our partners' perspective, potentially offering services through their platforms, connecting members to members, and then also connecting members to Verizon to access our technologies or access our thought leadership to help them grow. We've started a really successful office hours program in Cambridge that we're then spreading to the other locations where folks from our innovation lab go down once a week and host a 2-hour office hours session and have an open conversation with the members about what they're up to and, you know, their experience working for a large company and how smaller companies can learn from that. So certainly supportive is one of the key words, I would say.
And would you say that the partners that are attractive to you are sort of naturally kind of above average on the programming side of things, like offering events and, you know, office hours and things like that?
Definitely. Definitely. Those are the groups that are most interesting to us and tend to see the natural connection between what they're doing and what we're looking to do as well. So certainly more events, probably just even in frequency, and the content of those events is important too. So if a group is just having a bunch of happy hours, I'm sure that's really good for the community, but that doesn't really help us deliver our message or further the ecosystem development that's important. You know, just the content of what have other startups done? How have they been successful? What have they learned? What are their pitfalls? How have they failed? Even, that's, you know, failure is a big part of the startup world. So how do you overcome that? And having those conversations happening within the space with names too, right? You know, important people in the industry talking about that stuff is really important. So connections is very important too.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you talked about West Coast and Asia. What's kind of the 5-year plan for the project?
I'm working on like a 1-year plan right now, but yeah, we take an approach where we look at where are the global cities, where are the global tech cities, where's the talent, the demand for co-working generally. And then next level down, we talk to our business about the markets that they see as most attractive for what they're trying to achieve. So we talk with them about, we talk to a number of different internal stakeholders. So we have our venture capital team, Verizon Ventures, which of course is a natural partner for us because deal flow and access to the startup community is great. So we talk with them about where are you seeing activity? What types of companies are you targeting? And we drill down from there. And then we talk across the spectrum, open innovation team, even across AOL, Yahoo, and the Oath family. We're getting them more involved in this as well. And their objectives are different on the media side than Verizon, maybe on the wireless or wireline side. So we have a whole network of internal stakeholders who guide us to different geographies. Of course, those overlap with intuition, like Silicon Valley and San Francisco, like kind of no-brainers. So we do expect to be in those locations fairly soon. But, you know, any location that we're looking at is going to follow that first objective of, is there demand for co-working? Is this something that we can do as a revenue source? And then where does the business need to be? And then finally, where do we have assets? So we're pretty well dispersed in the United States. Internationally, we're in most global cities, but it's also about availability of assets and how much excess space we have to repurpose. And then what could we do to get creative around that?
Yeah, that makes sense. Nick, that's my questions for the day for you. Thank you for sharing. I mean, I'm just the work that you're doing, I think, is so innovative and unique for real estate, for a company in general, and then, you know, really being driven out of the real estate department. So congrats to you and your team for the work that you're doing. And we're really looking forward to seeing where this goes.
Well, thank you very much, Jamie. I appreciate you having me on and always enjoy talking about this stuff. So let's do it again sometime.
Sounds good. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.